This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Welcome.
Hi.
To another episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Robin.
I'm Jamie. And we're your hosts.
We are. And it's a very special episode.
Sure is.
With some very special guests.
Guess who it is?
It's Jamie and Robin.
Yay. You guys are so lucky. Oh, cue God. Music, Robin.
Oh, my God. Did we use that joke already?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, my Take God. We're out. So lucky to have more us.
I don't know if you guys think that, but we really wanted to.
Oh my God, nobody thinks that. I don't think that. I'm so sick of myself. It's nobody thinks that.
I don't even like to look in the mirror right now. That's not true. I do love myself. But anyway.
Oh my.
I have to cover all bases.
Try the veal. You're even apologizing to yourself.
I do. I can't, like.
It's amazing.
I don't want people to be like, you need to love yourself before anybody can love you. Like, I know. But anyway.
But today, all bets are off. Listen, like, some days you love yourself, some days you're like, shut up.
Well, so we thought that you guys might want us to answer some questions that you had for us or for...
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of listener questions.
Yeah.
And so we thought, let's take advantage of answering them. Let's answer these.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should just dive right in with mm-hmm. our first question.
Let's do it.
I will read this one, shall I?
Mm-hmm.
This question comes from Mayor by Night from the New York City area. And she says, I want to hear your thoughts about raising kids in New York City. Favorite, least favorite, did you ever think of moving? What made you stay? Etc. Exclamation point.
I will say that raising kids in Manhattan, I'm in Manhattan, I do think is challenging. I have not had the experience of raising children outside of the city. So I can't say for sure, but I do know that the schlepping... The schlepping through the snow, you know.
Just getting your groceries, for God's sake, is a challenge.
It's hard. Yeah.
I mean, there are moments, and it's usually when I'm holding 14 bags of groceries and my fingers are just like turning like purple,
uh-huh.
that I'm like, am I doing this the hardest possible way?
Yeah. I have that thought a lot, especially in the winter. Like, I could just be going into my garage and getting in my car.
Oh, my God. We could just pull in and, like, open the trunk.
So not fair. It's not. And put the baby in. And put the baby in.
By the way. A garage.
There's a
driveway.
A backyard.
Come on.
Like, kids go outside. Kids, just go out in the backyard.
Are we moving?
Take them out.
Are we now moving?
I think about moving all the time.
Okay. So let me tell you when I think about moving. Every summer. After we go, like, upstate, or we go to some friend's house who has, like, that big house. So, like, as Henry always goes, do they have upstairs, downstairs? Because he's, like, obsessed with houses that have upstairs, downstairs. Because we're in an apartment. Mm-hmm. Although my dream is a Brooklyn brownstone.
Me too.
Oh, God. Could you imagine? Let's get them next door and we'll split open the yard.
That'd be great. It would just be the if these ovaries could talk commune.
We'd just paint the house pink.
Compound commune. Both.
That sounds weird. You'd be so sick of me. But I would get so much shit done for those brownstones.
Oh my God. It would be great.
Yeah, it would be great.
No,
but
yeah.
Okay, wait. So yes, like, I do think about it. Anyway, back to my point. Every summer when we go to somebody's big house with the upstairs, downstairs, I come back and I get online and I start looking at Maplewood, New Jersey, because that is...
Maplewood, huh?
Yeah, that's the journey. Like, everyone goes from Brooklyn to Maplewood because it's like this diverse community and it's like... And everyone always touts the... It's 35 minutes on the train. So it's a direct.
Can I tell you guys? You guys lie.
They lie. Well, what they do.
Because I come out there and it does not take me 35 minutes.
Well, because it's not door to door, the train, if you get the express, but then you're on the 552.
Yeah.
So I start looking at homes because I'm like, okay, we could sell our apartment and we can buy this house. Maybe I'll get a pool. But then I start to think about, like, oh my God, like, who mows that lawn?
Yeah.
Like, and when the boiler breaks, once I figure out what that boiler is, like, who handles that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what Ann and I
always
say?
I need a super.
Yeah, I love my super.
My super
does everything. No, but what Ann and I always say is, yes, we are just jonesing for a backyard, like nobody's
outdoor
business.
Space.
Because we have a dog, too. a backyard and actually, like, more than 800 square feet of space to live in.
I don't even understand how you live in your apartment.
I don't either. There's way too many bodies in there. But speaking of supers, my super raised 3 daughters in the exact same apartment below us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know people do it.
People do it. And he just said to me in the elevator the other day, I don't know how we did it. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how you did it either. But anyway, so back to my point. Ann and I talk about it all the time because we want a backyard. And then we say, but does the novelty wear off? We actually ask people who have homes and backyards, do you use it? Do you really use it?
Do you go out there?
How long have you been there? And are you still using it? Because I feel like... And I hope it's not true. I feel like we'll have it. We'll use it the first summer. We'll be wild about it.
I know I would use
it. And then the novelty wears off. And then the kids don't want to go outside. And then you're still stuck in the living space, which is 800 square feet. So.
Well, no, because you're going to have a house.
Right.
So it's going to be bigger.
And a basement. A finished basement sounds so. We don't have those in San Francisco. I want a screening room.
There's so many things I want. But no. You know, it's like once I've looked at the houses in Maplewood, and then I get, this is how crazy I am. I open up the train schedule and then I look at, and then I do the Google Maps to see how long it takes me to get from this house that I haven't purchased that I just saw a listing of to the train. And then I do the subway time. And then I'm like, okay, so that's an extra 2 hours a day I'm not with my kids.
Yep.
You know, and I can't just pop on the subway, you know, if I had a dinner or come in for an audition. I did have a dream though that we bought a house in Maplewood last week. Wow. I had that dream.
I mean, I think it's always in the back of our heads.
Yeah.
Ann and I.
Real estate. Ann's when you're mom, a New Yorker, you're always thinking about real estate.
Well, Ann's parents live way out in Queens, Queens Village, which is almost Long Island. So it's way out there. And we go there every weekend, or almost every weekend. And what we do, well, before we had the 2 kids, because now it's hard to leave 2 kids with grandma. What we would do is we would leave Rose with grandma and we'd go look at open houses in this little neighborhood close by that has like a little strip that we always say, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could live here. But I'm pretty sure people don't like gay people there. So I don't think that's going to happen.
You got to find the gays. You got to find your gay community.
Yeah, but we do that religiously. We go to open houses in this town. It's what we do.
And so the thing is like I would say ultimately to answer her question.
Like we just riff. We just go.
We ramble.
Also, I just want to also say the real estate agents hate us now in this town. They like, see us walk through the door. They don't even say hi because they know we're not buying.
You're fake. Well, so to actually answer Mirabai's question is, you know, I grew up in upstate New York where, you know, I could just ride my bike, drop it in the yard. And I think about that sometimes, but I think, you know what, we'll just vacation there, you know? Mm-hmm. And like my kids, you know, we have access to every museum to like, you know, my daughter's doing a Broadway summer camp this summer.
Which
like,
one? How fun.
Two weeks of like, you know, they're going to take her to a Broadway show. It's like, nice. We got, you know, like there's so much here.
It's just more expensive.
Yeah. But when I get a little older, I want to have a house here and then somewhere else when I get super wealthy.
Yeah. At this point,
that's going to happen any minute, by the way.
We dream about moving all the time, but we can't decide where that should be. We cannot decide where we want to live.
Grass is always green.
Yeah. And so until we are like 100% certain that we want a different lifestyle and we know exactly where that lifestyle is, we're staying where we are.
You and your super. Just stay put.
We have everything at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. And I love that. The only thing that's hard is schlepping two kids to the longest walk to school. And then
it's
back.
It's like four blocks. What are you talking
about? No, it's so long.
Oh my God, you stop it.
It is a long. It's as long as it could possibly get without being able to take a subway or a bus. It's long. Come on, guys.
Well, when they're little,
it's long. And yeah. I got the baby and I got the 4-year-old.
All right, fair enough.
And you know, if you live in the suburbs, you don't do that. But you have a screaming baby in the back of the car the whole time you're stuck in the car. So
it's
there's
true.
That.
You can't leave that baby. You got to take it out of the car. It's mm-hmm. lots. All right, moving on to the next question.
Cars.
Babies are always screaming. All right. See some of our previous episodes regarding that. Okay. Question number two. This is from Kim Burrows in Texas. Have your kids experienced peers or parents who do not accept them because of their non-traditional family? How do you prepare them for that possibility in the future? Hmm. I mean, we're in a hippy-dippy liberal school, so I don't believe that's come up for us yet. And by the way, if the parents were ignoring us, I don't know that I would know. I would just think they weren't available.
Right.
Also, we don't reach out to a lot of people.
I feel so. It's been my experience that I just think that if people don't agree with our lifestyle, they're not telling us.
That's what I think.
They're just staying away from us because I don't notice it. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, your oldest isn't really old enough yet for like the play dates or any of that yet.
Well, we had one moment.
Oh, you did?
I had one moment. We were walking to school, and we ran into one of Rose's schoolmates. And the schoolmate was, you know, they're four. So they actually, this one is five. Or they're all five. Anyway, she's four. You know, they tease, they play. And the schoolmate was teasing and playing with Rose. Rose, do you have a daddy or do you have mommies? Rose, do you have a dad? And she kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And I could see that my daughter was feeling insecure about it. I could see her little face and she didn't answer her. And she didn't know how to answer her, even though we talk about it.
Did you get down that kid's face and go, hey.
I had a strong reaction inside, on the inside. Yeah. And she's a 5-year-old.
Was the mom there? Was the mom there?
The nanny was there. And the nanny finally said, stop. You know what Rose has. Stop. You know, which then made me even more upset because now I know that you're talking about our family at home, which of course that's going to happen.
Sure.
And of course we're going to be the family that her schoolmates' families are using to teach their kids about these other lifestyles. But I didn't realize that it was going to be me until that moment.
But for them, they don't know that it's a lifestyle. It's just a different thing.
Right. But I had the thought in my head, I don't want to be the teaching family. I don't want to be that family that they talk about at home, that this is the different family. I got upset.
Yeah.
And I saw that my daughter was...
Yeah.
She had feelings over it, and it broke my heart for a second. It broke, and then we went home and we talked about it, and she's, you know, I don't have a dad. I have two moms, you know.
So, I mean, the most that we've had is just like, I remember picking Maxine up once, and she was like, and this little kid ran over and said, does Maxine have two moms? And I said, yes, she does. And Maxine goes, I told you. And it was like hilarious. So that's like the most we've had, like, it hasn't turned into a negative thing yet, but you know, I'm sure it'll come at some point.
And I'm not saying what happened to me was negative. I just, for the first time, felt those emotions. Like, oh God, this might be coming.
Oh, no, it's definitely coming. Middle school's coming. It's all coming.
My daughter is going to have to process through these emotions, and I need to give her the tools to process
them. That's it, the tools. I'm glad you said that. To me, the only thing in terms of the listener's question is to answer really is, I'm teaching it in a much more general way, not just about this issue, but like, who do you want to surround yourself with? Mm-hmm. And like, is that a friend that you want? That's someone that would treat you badly because of something in your family? Or is that a friend that you don't want to be with?
Right.
And like, about standing up for yourself, being a strong kid. And I think that's a lesson just for, you know, all of middle school and high school.
Yeah.
In life, really.
Yeah, and it's starting in pre-K.
It starts early. Yeah.
She comes home with another story every day that I have to think, how am I going to navigate through this one to help her handle.
We've got the mean third grade girls right now going on, and it's just constantly be like, I'm like, why don't you just, I don't know, not play with her? It's like, I don't even know. You just,
I have to tell Rose, even. She's four. Mm-hmm. Next time he does that, you walk away. Yeah. Next time you just walk away.
Bye.
He follows me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because that's what they do. I know. And it's like, you're like, oh. Let's get some dessert.
Yeah.
Let's get you an eating disorder. All right. So let's move on to our next question. Robin, you said in one episode that you're not married, but domestic partners. Why? We did get married. We didn't get married legally, but when we did our commitment ceremony, we called it our very gay, non-binding wedding. We did on the beaches.
I thought you were going to say non-binary.
Wish I had. The Caribbean. And 55 of our family were there, and it was a wedding.
That's nice.
And I didn't feel like I needed to do the paperwork when it came. And also, we get more on our tax returns. You're married?
And it's working out for us tax-wise, so that's good.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
My accountant was kind of like, listen, like when they're like 18, you know, when you would be out of the Social Security range, should something happen to your partner, that's when you guys get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fine then.
Yeah. I was deathly afraid of getting married in front of people.
Really?
So I think that's why we had to do it. We were both so afraid of the wedding.
Oh, my God. I've envisioned a beach wedding since college.
Oh, no. See, I never dreamed of getting married. None of that. I was always even nervous to, like, kiss my husband in front of my dad. I don't know why.
You never had a husband, though, right?
No. But, like, when I would think about it.
Oh,
like,
I see.
And I'd be like, oh, my God, he has to walk me down the aisle. I don't want, like, all of it just, I didn't want that.
That's right. I didn't want that either.
Hoopla,
yeah.
You know? So we didn't do any of that, obviously. But also, I was so nervous to proclaim my love for this woman in front of all these people. We got drunk before our vows.
Hilarious.
We wrote our vows, and it actually turned out to be great, but we didn't get drunk. We eased it a little bit.
Apologies to all the drunk people.
Yeah, but like, I was so afraid of it, which is why I had to do it.
Right.
Basically. We did it because we felt like
that's a growing theme, and I like that about you. You recognize when you're afraid of something, and then you make yourself do it. You're scrappy.
I do.
That's my philosophy as well. Because like, I believe if I'm scared, it means there's something at stake, and I should be doing it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I'm not scared of being married, which is why I'm going to wait until I'm going to make more money. Okay. Are you worried, or do you think your kids might turn out gay?
Am I worried? Mm-hmm. It's a good question, and I'm going to answer this from my point of view, and my wife might have a different point of view. I don't care whatsoever if they come out gay or straight or non-binary or trans. I don't care. I can say honestly, at this point, whatever they want to be, I'm fine with.
I could say that I think that I have a little baggage around this, but only because when I came out, I had a lot of internalized shame, and I think there's still some lingering that I think that people would judge me if my kids came out gay. I have the boyest boy and the girliest girl. Like, she's already had four boyfriends, and she's like, Jonathan loves me. So I don't think it's, you know, how you kind of like, even my dad, who was not, you know, not real in touch with things, was like, yeah, I kind of had a feeling about you. Yeah. Like, I think you know your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be wrong. But so I don't think that's a thing. But I think if it were, I would obviously love them so unconditionally. But I think I would have some shame. Like, did I do that?
Mm. I wouldn't worry that I did that. I would just, my only fear is I don't want them to suffer. And I don't want their road to be hard.
I haven't really suffered, though. Have you?
No, but I'm thinking about my boy. And I'm thinking about,
I guess it's harder for boys.
If he feels like he's a girl on the inside, then that's going to be hard for him.
Yeah, that's a tough journey.
If it happened to my daughter, but I just don't think that's happening because she's pretty girly at this point. But you never know. And I also, my parents had no idea about me because I don't think I come off gay. Unless you see me kissing my wife.
So it's pretty gay when you kiss your wife. Okay.
Now somebody's going to be like, what do you mean come off gay? What does that mean?
We have to stop. Like, we have to just assume our audience loves us and knows that we have a good heart. And we got it. We can't apologize. There's too much to apologize for in this world.
I'm really good at apologizing.
You are. Stop it.
I do it like it's my
daughter does that a lot too. And I'm trying. I just told her today, I said, okay, if you're going to say one bad thing, then you have to say one good thing about yourself.
Oh, well,
let's try something like that, Jamie.
I learned early on that I could shut anger down or an argument down just by saying, I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't realize. That's why you apologize.
I do, because I just like, can we not?
I'm so argumentative that it's just not me.
I don't like to argue. So.
But that's why we're a good team.
So I like to diffuse it by...
Oh my God, it's diffusing is not a lesson I learned.
I diffuse.
I wish I did.
I'm a good diffuser.
Mary's a great diffuser. I need to work on that. So a lot of things I have to work on. We only have so much time. Okay. Do either of you worry about your kids listening to this when they are older?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I don't.
I do. I'm
what
not
are you afraid
worried?
They're going to hear.
No, I'm not worried about them hearing from all these amazing families that we talk to. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the things that just come out of my mouth sometimes about the dynamic of my family or how I describe my two kids, you know, and the differences between them, because everything we're airing it all here. Nothing is off
not
limits
all of it.
So far. Well, we're both sitting here naked, so, you know.
I can't think of anything that I would do less than that. Like, I don't even sit at home naked.
I'm
like,
okay, Robin's not. I am.
And then I'm just really uncomfortable. And I keep going, Jamie, fucking put a top on. God damn it.
No, I do. I am nervous about, God, I hope I'm not saying anything that could damage them in the future about
our... I worry so much more about damaging them in IRL, as the kids say, in real life.
IRL. Than
that's kind of the
I think I'm pretty up on the vernacular.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you for using vernacular right. Good job,
I use that right a lot.
You do. Good job. Oh, I'm not worried only because I think I'm very, very honest with my kids. I mean, and I don't believe I'm saying anything that I wouldn't talk to them about. Mm-hmm. And I think also, I don't know, I think they understand as that we're performers and that there's a persona.
I don't know that yet because mine are so young. I don't know if they're going to understand what
I do. Maybe that's just what I tell myself.
But also, I am just a perpetual worrier. That's what I do. Like, that's if there was a job and that you could make millions of dollars at, I think I'd be like one of the top worriers in the field of worrying. I'm so good at worrying.
PhD, worrying.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Ooh, okay. We're getting some heavy hitters here. Okay. Wait. Oh, we have a call in. We have someone who left us a voicemail.
Do you ever worry that your kids will be confused as they get older and want a greater connection to someone who's ultimately just a donor?
Oh, that's a great question, caller.
It is something that I have wondered about. It is something that I have worried about, and it's the reason why we chose an open donor.
Yep.
As opposed to a non-open donor, so that there is the option of trying to contact them when they're 18. But that could pan out to nothing, and he could not want anything to do with them. And then, yeah, I worry about that. I worry now more that Rose actually asks questions about daddies. Mm-hmm. And she says, sometimes I want a daddy, which... It breaks my heart because I never, before having a child, I never really honestly, and this is terrible of me, but I never thought it would be even an issue.
Yeah.
I didn't. I don't know. I thought having two moms would be just enough. I did, which is so naive of me.
I wonder if it's enough. Just they want what everyone has.
It could be, and it could also be that some kids really would connect really well with a dad.
Yep.
You know, and
I mean, we have the same thing in that we have chose open donors, but I have the added complication of having separate donors because the one was out of the program when Henry listened to episode 2, if you missed that story. Mm-hmm. And I worry that maybe they both want to meet the donor and one has an exceptional experience and then the other one maybe can't find theirs. And it's like, you know, and I felt a responsibility that maybe I ruined that by like selling back the sperm because maybe that would have. But then it's like, then I'd have different children. So it's like, these are our kids. I don't worry about them wanting to meet them because it's like, to me, we're the parents and whatever, if they want to have some relationship, I trust that what we're doing is enough and that they love us and they know we love them and that we are building a family. We are a family. I shouldn't say that.
I'm all about that too.
Yeah. So I guess I don't worry about that so much.
We also don't have teenagers yet.
Oh yeah.
Who, you know, the whole dynamic shifts.
I've seen the kids are all right. Yeah, I saw that movie. You know,
I mean, the dynamic shifts in a family. Like right now we're this great little family of two moms and two kids, but you know, kids become teenagers and start really having opinions and who knows? I don't know.
My kids have opinions now.
Well, yeah.
But you know, also I still stand by this. I've said it before and I'll say it again that during that time when you're alienated or they are alienating themselves from you or however that's rightly said, like that they would find something that is different about you. Like maybe we're older, maybe we're chubbier, maybe we're, and that they're going to be annoyed with you for it because they're trying to establish their own identity and they're embarrassed by you a little bit. Which, you know, I'm a bad dancer. They should be embarrassed by me a little bit, you know.
Are you?
No, I'm a fairly decent white girl dancer. but I don't know, maybe it's just like, maybe I've just fooled myself. Like it's like Ellen, you know, like it's become my thing and I don't know. I really don't know
where you just took that.
Well, like Ellen with her whole dancing thing. I know. It's like she can't get out of that.
She's gotten better with her dancing.
You have to admit, she must want to get out of that. Like she must just be like,
sometimes,
I
watch it. Sometimes she doesn't dance.
Because now she's just like, fuck you, I'm huge.
She also has, I think she has a bad back. So there are some episodes where she doesn't.
You know a lot about this. It's weird. I love that.
I happen to be home a lot at 3 p.m. when it airs. And that's my time. Lately without kids. So what I do is I put on Ellen. I have a fun life.
I'm talking about my dancing. Okay. All right. So I think we answered that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, we had another call-in message. So let's listen to this one.
Hi, this is Morgan, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to know if any of your kids have asked about their dads.
Oh, yes. Very good question. No, and the reason why is because we talk about it. We have been talking about it since before it even come up. I actually wrote an essay about this called I think it was called like "Where's My Daddy?" and it was published in HuffPo in the Queer Voices section. And we got the book because when Maxine was three, she kept walking around being like, she just would walk up to random men on the street and she'd be like, "That's my dad." And at first I was like, no, it's not. And then it was like, she just kept escalating it. And she was like following strange men on the street. And we were like, oh, we got to do something about this. So that's when we bought the book. And for Henry, his entire life, that book has been in existence. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she had to be three when that started.
Yeah.
So they know, you know, like they know they don't have a dad. They don't, you know, they have a donor and that's just been their whole existence.
Yeah. My story is pretty similar to yours. I had the benefit of reading your story when Rose. Yeah. I think I even like,
I feel like we talked about that.
Facebook messaged you.
Like, oh my God, DM'd me.
Yeah. That's what it is. DM'd, whatever you call it.
That's what the kids say. IRL.
IRL. I already forgot what that means, but anyway.
In real life. I don't know if they actually say IRL. I do. They just write IRL.
Okay. I have no. Anyway.
Doesn't matter. It's not
relevant. But I had read your story, and this was about the same time that Rose was starting to say the dad word. And she was about three, and she, like, we had a moment in the taxi when she was like, "He's my dad." And we were like, "No, he's the taxi driver. No, he's my dad. No, he's..."
Yeah, Maxine was very adamant, too.
Yeah, and then Rose was like, he's a pig. And we were like, no, he's a dad. Don't call him a pig. So, but
you're like handing him like a $10 tip. Here you go, dude.
Yeah. He was not amused by any of it.
By the way, they're never amused by us.
I know.
I think sometimes we think our kids are cute, people are amused, but the reality is they're not.
No, they don't even listen.
They're like, shh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had the benefit of reading your story and I got the same book that you have. And so,
such a good book.
Yeah. And so Rose, we've been reading that to Rose since then too.
But that's from the Donor Parent Conception Network. And they have like basically donor a book conception. For whatever your situation is, whether it's like a single mom with a donor, two moms with a donor mm-hmm. with, you know, it's, they have one for everything. It's a great, mm-hmm. it's a great resource.
Mm-hmm. One of our listeners also, made her own, their family made their own How I Was Made.
It's a great idea.
With like actual pictures of the real family. And that's a great idea. I still plan on doing that someday.
Someday. I mean, I think the lesson here is just like get in front of it. It's mm-hmm. like, I know a couple of people who use donor eggs and they are heterosexual couples. Mm-hmm. One in particular, the daughter's older and like they're not talking about it. And I live in fear for them for that moment when they're in the hospital and the kid sees some paperwork or something. It reminds me of them.
The daughter
doesn't know? No, not that I know of anymore. I mean, not as much in touch anymore. But it's like it reminds me of the modern day, the kid finding out they're adopted when they're 18. And I think that scars the crap out of kids. Mm. And I just think get in front of it.
Funny story. It is. When I was like 8, I was looking through my mom's closet.
Oh my God, what did you find?
And I found this box with all these papers in it. So I'm going through the papers. And then I saw a paper that said adoption certificate.
Did you think you were adopted?
It had my name on it.
What?
And so I was like, oh my God, I'm adopted. I cried.
How old were you?
I think I was 8 maybe. No, I was like 8 or 9.
Wait, are you adopted? I'm dying. The story.
No, wait. Let me get there. So I like had a moment. I cried. You know, I
made a modern dance about it.
And I probably did, knowing me. And I confronted my mom about it later, and she was like, "That's the toy you adopted. The toy. It's from that monkey toy." And she still had the paper in a box. But I had a moment where I thought, oh my God, I've been lied to. You should write a one-woman show about it. I thought I was adopted. I thought I was adopted for about 2 hours.
I'm just saying.
And I had emotions over it. So,
oh my God, for about 2 hours. What I'm saying is get in front of it. That's my motto.
And that was traumatizing. I still remember it.
Oh my God. And can you imagine like when you're 13 and you find out? That's just like,
no, I know.
Bad.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, I'm just picturing you making your own interpretive dances, like of your feelings. I can just see it all.
I did that a lot.
I could see it all.
And songs.
Yeah. Mm. I used to just like put on headphones, really loud music, and just like lip sync thing. Like I had a whole, I took a mop and then I put like a lip gloss container and taped it on. So it was like a microphone. I had like sets that I would do in my bedroom.
With actual music.
Oh yeah.
I would look into the mirror and cry and sing a song. My mom went to work. And she leaves me alone.
Stop it. Stop it.
I'm alone. Like, seriously.
You were like, you're doing like Broadway in your bedroom.
I was Les Mis in the bathroom mirror.
Holy mother loving shit. That is funny. Okay. Well, we have just one more question. That's an easy one. Do you think you'll ever have grandparents to talk on your show? And that was, we had two people ask that, Lisa from Utah and Mary Beth from Maryland.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. And to clarify, this is grandparents of kids that were made.
Well, not the parents, but grandparents, right? I mean, isn't that clear, Jean? Not like my grandparents because they're dead.
Well, some people, anyway, whatever. Yeah,
I think so. I think it's a great idea.
We just have to find the right grandparents.
We need a good story. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
or not necessarily a good story, just the right.
Well, good people. I mean, like good people with a good journey to share. Look, I'm a producer. I'm always like, tell me your story.
Uh-huh. Which is, that's true.
So, I mean, I feel like that's a really great last question because what it does is say, if you have stories that mm-hmm. you want us to tell or you think you have a really interesting story or journey that you've come through or come out of, email us at ovariestalk@gmail.com. We'd love to hear it. We'll take more listener questions and we'll bank them for when we do the next episode. So, you know, we'd like to hear more from you guys. I mean, we're always like begging to hear more from you. I mean, it's a little sad.
Don't you guys get it yet?
We're like a little bit like that friend that's like, did I get invited to the party? I'm coming, right? You guys, you'll come pick me up, right? And then they don't come.
Well, who's the one in Stand By Me, the chubby one? What's his name?
I don't. He ended up being so handsome.
I know, he's so beautiful. But what was it? We're him.
Yeah, we're him.
What was his name?
Listen, this is I've only seen the movie like once.
What?
I'm sorry. That's like a thing. Problem. I'm sorry. Look, I was such a loser all through high school that it's just like
Stand
I don't.
By Me is like elementary school for us.
No, I meant like I don't need to go back and see that chubby kid's life. Like I lived it. Like okay. Nobody invited me to anything. Mm. Like the prom, I think I went to the movies. It's not sad at all, and I'm not scarred by that at all, Jamie.
There's nothing wrong with that.
On that note,
that's a happy way to end.
All right, reach out to us on our social channels. If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook, Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries _ Talk, Instagram, and you know,
Ovaries. We said the Gmail one.
Yeah, we said it.
Okay. I mean, when I say we, I mean you. But yeah, I think this was great. Hit
Thanks
us up
for your
more.
Questions. This was really fun. Mm-hmm. We hope that you found it fun as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll say
eggs, ovaries out.
What was that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.